This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. And welcome back to the ASI weekly Q&A with Sheikh Akram Nadri on every Thursday at 6 p.m. BST. I hope you've all had a great Eid, and inshallah we'll begin with the first question. The first question we have, Sheikh, today is, Samiul Islam says, I want to be a doctor. I am young now. I have to study a lot. But whenever I'm doing my duty, a guilty feeling works that I'm working for dunya a lot, but not for Islamic studies. Is this from shaitan?
Okay, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. You know, the most important thing for every believer is, you know, to worship their Lord and to learn how to worship. The basic thing, how to pray, how to fast, you know, reading the Quran, understanding the Quran, these are the most important thing. So that what you should have your priority. To become an alim is not really obligatory on everybody, not necessary. So don't worry about that. As long as you understand your religion, you follow that, and that will be enough. We need in the society, you know, Muslims who are expert in every field of the knowledge, you know, in engineering, in medicine, in so many other fields. Because Muslims are not there, then we are going to depend on other people. So it is very important. Sometime, you know, becoming a medical doctor is more important than becoming a mufti. Because there are so many muftis, if you don't need them, so it is useless, you know. Like, you know, in a town, one mufti is enough. But there are so many muftis, but there are no Muslim doctor. And that what Imam Ghazali has been complaining about his own time, that everybody learning fiqh and fatwa while actually learning the medicine is more important. That is for the kifaya, and Muslims depend on Christians and Jews about these sciences. So don't worry, don't feel guilty. You know, study medicine, become doctor, but at the same time, you spend time to learn this religion. For example, you know, like in Islam Institute, there are many courses which are not actually for specialized people or to make you alim, but they help you to understand your religion. Like, for example, they're going to start a course on the Quranic studies to understand the Quran, 2-3 year course, not to make alim, but to help you to understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's only Sundays. So while you're doing your you know, formal education, you know, as a doctor, you can study these courses. They are only Sundays. They are not so intensive. It easily can be done. So in the summary of the matter is that, you know, any field of the knowledge which is beneficial for Muslims, it is good. You get reward for that. As long as you, you know, don't neglect your duty as a believer, as a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Nihal, who says, if my company gives me a credit card for company use, then is it haram to use it? Can a person use a credit card if he pays on time and avoids interest?
Yeah, you know, the what is haram is the interest. If somehow, you know, you can make sure that, you know, you pay things on the time and you don't involve in any interest, then you are safe. There's no harm in that. You know, it only become a haram if you happen to, you know, pay interest, you know, unless you're obliged. Sometimes people are, you know, have no, you know, way. But don't do things, you know, on their own or your own choice. So if you want, you can use it, but make sure that you pay everything on the time.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. On a similar topic, Nihal asks, why is interest haram in Islam? Why is taking interest from bank on savings haram? And how does it affect our society?
I know this actually is a very long explanation. I don't think I can be able to do it. You know, to explain to you why interest is haram, it will take a lot of time. But you should be clever enough to understand this thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made many ways how the money and properties are moved from one person to other person. One way is exchange. Like, you know, I give you something, you give me something, like buying and selling. And that will happen mostly these days in the money, but in the past is to happen by commodity by itself. Sometimes you transfer something by gift. Like in Eid, people give gift. So that's absolutely fine. Sometimes, you know, you can give charity. Like, you know, poor people give them sadaqah. So it's halal for them to use whatever money. And sometimes people borrow money from you, lending. That's also one of the favor. When you lend money, you're doing, you know, giving to Allah. So the person you gave, you are just taking from back from him the amount you gave. You know, don't think that if I had put this money somewhere else, I would got so much profit, because it's not profit making. It is lending. It is favor. The favor should not be mixed with the profit. So if you want to make profit, do business, you know, involving buying and selling. But when you lend money to someone, it is purely favor. You only allowed to take back what you gave, not more than that. When people mix favor with the business, that it makes haram. Actually, it's very, very bad. So there's the reason, and also because the, you know, poor people who borrow money from you, they are needy. And, you know, and, you know, you get reward from helping them. But now you want to charge more money. It's basically putting them under more pressure. They don't have money to do anything. Now they will have pressure to give you more. So how can they survive? So that's why people always think, say that, you know, interest is like sucking the blood of poor people. So it is very, very ugly, very dirty. To think, it will be clear to you, you know, the problem in our time is that people have make the borrowing and lending as a business. And that is very, very, that what exactly riba is. And that's absolutely haram. And that what Islamic finance also, makes riba as a business. And they have new name for it. The names don't change the reality. Islamic banking is as bad as non-Islamic banking. Maybe Islamic banking is worse than that, because it uses Islam's name.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Abdurrahman, who asks, can a father write a will to give all of his savings to his only female child when he passes away, or should his brother also get a share?
You never can write a will for the people who are going to inherit you, because Allah already has written will. So they have to get account to the will of Allah, not account to your will. So this is useless will. Will only can be written for those who don't inherit you. And you only can write for them one third of your property. Like somebody very far away, relative from you, somebody friend, a poor person, or somewhere, to, you know, you can make one third of your will to go to them. But those who want to inherit you, like your son, your daughter, you know, your wife, your husband, your father and mother, you never, never can make any will for them. That will be invalid. No doubt about that. It has nothing, no validity. And the shares will be distributed according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Fatiha, who says, Salam ya Sheikh. In verse 110 of Surah Ali Imran, when Allah talks about Khair al-Ummah, will we be disqualified from being the best nation if one of the three characteristics is missing? Encouraging good, forbidding evil, and believing in Allah. And what is the wisdom of mentioning about Ahlul Kitab afterwards in the same ayah?
The thing, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no blood relation with any people. So everybody, his people, his slaves. So nearer people become to Allah is by their faith, belief, and by their deeds. So Allah has made certain people, chosen people of best ummah, because of, you know, certain actions. So the Muslims believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they command the good, forbid the evil. They fear him all the time. They will be chosen people. But if they don't do this, you know, there's no guarantee for them. Muslims can be worse than unbelievers. They can become hypocrites. They can be anything. You know, I don't know actually what is mentioning about Ahlul book, but maybe it is a reminder that the Ahlul Kitab also were chosen. But when they change themselves, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed his favor upon them. So similarly for Muslims, if Muslims change themselves, Allah's favor will no longer remain with them.
Barakallahu feek, Sheikh. The next question is by Fariha, who asks, would I become sinful if I forget the takbir, which is mandatory from 9th to 13th of Dhul Hijjah? Should I say it right after the prayer, and is it allowed to talk in between the salah and the takbir?
You know, these days are days of takbir, not only salah, you know, all the time people should say takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, illa alhamd, you know, with a voice. You know, women, you know, come among themselves, and men, you know, if they're in congregation, a little louder, people can. And one of the important place for takbir after the further prayer. But in the world, people say that, you know, it should be immediately after the prayer, no interruption and all those things. This is not right, really. You know, it can be sometimes, even in the prayer, you know, people might, you know, in fasting, if you eat by mistake, still your fasting valid. So there are things can be forgotten. After the salam, you forgot, you talk to someone, then you remember. Then just say takbir. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, the hadith said, Allah has forgiven the forgetfulness. When you forget something, you don't have any consequences. So don't worry about that. You know, do takbir as much as possible. And if you forget something, do remember that for everything, even for the prayer. If people don't pray on the time, then the Prophet says, pray when you wake up. Because there's no sin on the sleeping person or on the one who forget. So don't worry, you know, keep saying takbir until the end of Yamut Tashriq, you know, especially after the prayer. And if you forget, say when you remember.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. A related question is, says Salam, can we continue making dua during the days of Tashriq, especially after Asr to Maghrib? Will it be accepted just like the day of Arafah? Thank you, Sheikh.
Dua that you are always accepted. So, you know, doubt, certain times are more likely to make it. But you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Mujibu Da'wat. He accepts dua. Somebody asks a Shaykh, can you tell me the name of someone who is Mustajabu Da'wat? Mustajabu Da'wat are people, when they make dua, Allah accepts their dua. So somebody asks Shaykh, can you tell me the name of somebody who is Mustajabu Da'wat? If I ask him, he can make dua for me, and dua are accepted. Shaykh says, I don't know any Mustajabu Da'wat. By, you know, the Mujibu Da'wa, the one who accepts dua. So don't worry about the time and all those things. The one who accepts dua is all the time there. Did Allah say any time that if you ask me, you know, on this occasion, I will not accept? He will accept everything. You know, any time you ask me, accept. The real condition of dua is to turn to him, ask him, you know, with proper heart and mind. He will accept. He never says, I will not accept. So on these occasions, make more effort, but actually don't hesitate to ask Allah any time. You know, day and night, whenever you like, you can ask him. He's there, he's there, he listens to you.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Anika, who asks, is it Islamically wrong to moderately decorate our houses? Not overly decoration, but moderate decoration, as a neat, clean, and well decorated home can make us feel better and boost our mood.
You know, to keep house clean and tidy, and that's actually obligatory. The Muslims should make things tidy and clean as best possible, their body, you know, their hair, their property, their house. But sometimes people also need, you know, tahsinat, beautify things, beautify themselves, nicer clothes, beautify the house. There's no harm in that. But to exaggerate, to spend too much money, waste money, and to make it more attractive, and then when you pray, your mind goes to the curtains of the house, the carpets of the house, and if the house is to serve you, then you become servant of the house, or become worried if somebody comes, if they drop anything, what will happen, and it's so expensive carpet. So then when a house becomes such a, you know, thing, a burden on your mind, it's no more a house. So be careful to make it clean and make it tidy, a little bit decoration, which does not affect so much, it does not involve so much money. That is fine. But if it's too much money, yeah, it will be questioned on the day of judgment. So be careful. And also then you have to be always worried that, you know, if somebody drops something, somebody damages something, what will happen? And then you can't live in the peace in your house. And or maybe you start saying that nobody is allowed to come to my house. I've seen really there are people, they don't allow people to their house because it is so clean and so beautified that they are afraid that somebody will make it dirty. So what's the purpose? You know, to make house like that. So if a moderate decoration, that's fine. But too much exaggeration and spending, you know, a lot of money in these things, that actually is not right. Actually, that is stupidity, because that money is going to be wasted.
Ahsanallahu alayka, Sheikh. The next question is by Nishat, who asks, what is the real fear of Allah? Fearing emotionally for his punishment or just not doing haram things?
Real punishment, real fear is fear from the mind, that you don't do anything that make him angry with you. So always learn his commands, obey him, and don't disobey him. That is real fear, really. That what should happen. And when the fear becomes deeper, then people, you know, their hearts become scared and trembles, and that Allah loves, really. Then they always save people. But the real thing, as long as you avoid haram, and don't disobey Allah, you are among the fearful people.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is, sorry, I'm just trying to get it up. Here we go. The next question is by Muhammad, who asks, Assalamu alaikum, Eid Sa'id, ya Sheikh. What is the ruling on da'if hadith? Should it be accepted? What will I do when someone says da'if hadith? Like, what's your perspective about fadail a'mal?
You know, I've explained this so many times, really. You know, this religion is based on the Quran and the sound hadith. Nothing weak, really. And there's no need for weak hadith. There's nothing in the weak hadith that you don't have in Quran and Sunnah. Nothing. So I personally, I don't like really people referring to the weak hadith. I mean, fadail. There's no need for that. All these fadail, they're useless fadail, really. Do you think Abu Bakr Siddiq used to obey Allah because of these fadail? You know, why don't you make your mind, I will obey my Lord? You know, even there's no fadail. That itself is a big thing. And the big fadila of obeying is that you get paradise. Quran says those who obey Allah, they get paradise. So what can be better than that? So I think really believers should have practice of obeying their Lord, Allah and His Messenger. That will be enough, really. Why you always need somebody to tell you that if it's subhanAllah, this much time you get this reward, that reward? Why somebody has to tell you these things? Why you can't learn really that whenever you obey Allah, Allah will reward you anyway? That's what the Quran says, that's what the Sunnah says. So, you know, when people refer to the weak hadith, just say useless thing, really. I don't understand what makes them to go to weak hadith when there's a whole Quran is about the virtue of the good deeds, or every single thing. And I never think really, because Siddiq, Umar, Farooq, Aisha, or Khadija, they ever did something because of these weak hadith. Nothing. They even did not know these hadiths.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Ihsan, who says, Assalamu alaikum, Eid Mubarak, Sheikh Saab. You once said that contrary to what I heard before, you consider Eid al-Fitr a bigger Eid than Eid al-Adha. Could you please explain why you believe that?
Well, I said Eid al-Fitr is a bigger Eid than Eid al-Adha. No, actually I wrote an article, you are now remember. You know, when we were children, we used to think Eid al-Fitr is bigger, you know, not Eid al-Adha, though people always say Eid al-Adha is bigger. A reason we used to think because our whole Ramadan has passed and you know it is coming and you know just the first day of Shawwal and people used to make a new clothes for that and then after that your clothes will be kept in the box after Eid al-Fitr and then in Eid al-Adha you are going to wear same clothes that was made on the Eid al-Fitr. Then after that you use the whole year. So for the children, Eid al-Fitr was the big one. So they didn't understand why Eid al-Adha is called the big one. That I meant really. But you know, both are big and both are great, no doubt, from different ways. But that I said, you know, when how children used to think.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question, again by Ihsan, is I was wondering what is the exact criteria when wanting to determine whether alcohol in non-food articles is deemed halal or haram?
Thing is, why a lot are not like really people either, to be drunk. I means that they do lose their senses. You know, when they come for the prayer, they talk. People should have command. That what aqli means. People should do things as they will and as they think. So if there's something occupies their mind, you know, this extra, these drinks, then certainly it will be haram because then you can't really decide anything, you can't take any judgment. So since alcohol is haram, you know, the Islam does not want any bit of that. Because if people say, you know, this small amount is fine for me, I don't become drunk. Who is going to decide really? Then one day you become drunk, you don't realize. So that's why anything, if it's a big quantity can make you drunk, then even it's more quantity will be haram. Then people mix some part of the alcohol in certain foods and drinks and medicine. So for that, the rule is if they mix and they make a chemical processing, you know, they cook it or something else, and it becomes something else and there's no intoxication, that's fine. But if they mix it as it is, you know, without any cooking, no chemical processing, then you're putting haram in the food. That should not be allowed. So, but if after putting, you know, any bit of alcohol, they make processing, then it is fine.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question, again by Ihsan, is Are toys for children like plastic or rag dolls for girls, for instance, with faces on them, are they haram?
You know, they're, you know, like these, you know, dolls and things like that with children play. Nobody respect them, you know, they're fine. Even the companions used to have, you know, Aisha the Latina used to have, you know, dolls, and Sulaiman Islam's horses, wings, you know, like horse properly, and in house of the Prophet and the Prophet did not mind. So children's toys, as long as they, you know, they are not, you know, bad, don't distract too much, they're fine.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question by Muhammad is, Sheikh, assalamu alaikum. Can you recommend a Sheikh for tazkiyatun nafs and bay'ah, and is this permissible? Jazakallah.
You know, don't worry about all those things, really. What you need is the Quran and Sunnah. Read the Quran, you know, understand the book of Allah, what Allah commands you, and then read the biography of the Prophet, how was he? Just copy and just make effort to follow him. And you need a good teacher. So if you don't understand something, ask your teacher to explain to you. Attend some classes, learn that like that. Don't go, you know, in these formal, you know, Shaykh, Sufi, Peer, Baya. There's so much problem, really. Yeah, if I explain to you, you'll hate all these people. It's just business. You know, all the Piri, Muridi, Shaykh, Baya, it all becomes big, huge business. They give Khilafa, and then, you know, it's more techniques, really. There's no real thing there anyway. If there had been anything good in it, Allah would have made his prophet a peer. But the prophets never are peer. Companions never have been peer. They are prophets, they are proper teachers. You need a good teacher, you don't need a peer. Because peer, most of them are jahil anyway. They're misguided, and they misguide other everybody else. So don't come nearer to all these business. This is a very, very dirty business. There's so many dirt. If you learn from people, you'll hate this thing. So don't worry about that. Just you need a Quran and Sunnah, a good teacher who can explain you the meaning of the Quran, Sunnah, where you don't understand. So attend some classes, learn from the good teachers. That's what you need.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Nofal, who asks, I am learning Arabic, trying to learn Quran, and trying to read every day. How can I increase the dabbur of Quran more? I am working full-time as an engineer. What should I do to make my Quran journey good?
No, what you're doing is that's the right thing, really. Learn Arabic language, spend time there. The next step will come to do tadabbur. You can't do everything at the same time. So just do that until you have reached to a good level of Arabic language. Then start doing tadabbur and thinking and understanding, inshallah.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. Next question is by Farah, who asks, did Sheikh say that if you miss Fajr because of sleep, that it is not a sin?
Yeah, you know, if you don't make intention, you know, some people sleep and they have intention not to wake up. It is sin. But, you know, you really prepare, you have alarm, you know, ask someone to awaken you. Or somehow you missed or did not hear the alarm, or, you know, and then you wake up when sun has risen. Yeah, there's no sin, repent. And then, no, the Prophet himself missed the prayer, Fajr prayer. And he said, don't worry, you know, there's no sin on the people who sleep. And when you wake up, then they do the prayer. But if people don't make arrangement, don't prepare for that, don't have worry, they just sleep, you know, very, very late, keep talking, wasted their time, certainly they're not going to wake up for the Fajr. They will get sin. But if you prepare, you really are concerned about the Fajr prayer, and you make somebody to wake up you, and still you somehow could not sleep, wake, yeah, Allah will forgive your sin, inshallah.
The next question, also by Farah, Sheikh, is, Salam, Sheikh, there is a big trend nowadays to improve your appearance with fillers and Botox injections because the effects are temporary. Is it halal to use them?
I don't exactly know really what these things are, but I'll just say, you know, don't waste all these things, your time, because once you start something like that, you get habit of that, and then you will not be satisfied without using that, then your money always wasted. And these people, we always keep improving their products and asking you to buy this one and that one. You know, best thing is spend your time, you know, on your beautifying your character, your good deeds, and, you know, killing yourself naturally, what Allah has made, that will be enough, really. At the end of the day, people look at your character, your voice, you know, how you behave. You know, if somebody is angry, all the time become angry, even if that person is the most handsome person in the world, most beautiful, nobody likes that person. You know, if you react very quickly, if you are a calm person, you think, you help everybody, you're kind, even if you are not so beautiful, but people love you. They would like to be in your company, to learn from you. So beauty really at the end of the day matters the inside beauty. That's what matters really. You know, when you travel with a companion, you always find people who are patient, you know, nice people in their character. You don't look for the most beautiful person there on the face of the earth, you know, because you can't go along with these people, you know, those who keep changing. If somebody spends so much time in beautifying himself in front of the mirror, I would not like to accompany that person, because, you know, by the person, by the time that person becomes ready, I'll miss my prayer, I'll miss my work, because these people say, take so much time in all these things. So don't worry too much. You know, natural beauty is fine, and you improve yourself a little bit. You know, have in the house a mirror, you know, a comb and some, you know, creams which are not very powerful, something like that. That'll find some good smell maybe. But most time is spent time on to beautify your character. You know, learn how to be patient, learn how to control your desire, learn how to be kind to the people, how to be helpful. This is going to last. The people will love you.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Muna, who asks, Assalamu alaikum. What does it mean by the verse that says only the taqwa can reach Allah and not the meat or blood of the animal in Surah Al-Hajj?
Yeah, you know, meaning is what is the condition of your heart? So, you know, when you sacrifice an animal, your heart is that, you know, I'm giving everything that I left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I'm not attached to anything. You know, it's all for sincerity, for Allah, not to show off, not for anybody else. Yeah, that's what Allah loves really. So He wants the people to sacrifice, you know, their property, their time and their life and everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to show off. And now in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, people buy all these bigger, more expensive sheep and goats, and they advertise in the newspaper that I got this sheep rhyme for 100,000 rupees or 200,000 rupees. And they make all that and tell the people. So Allah has no need for your, you know, 100,000 rupees just showing off. But somebody buys, you know, moderate way and then does sacrifice, distribute the meat according to the command of Allah, and is fearful that whether Allah accept or not. Allah will love the people like that. That's what I'm meaning is your heart should be fearful of Allah. That, you know, the fear of Allah, looking at Allah, not expecting reward from the people. That what Allah loves, not, you know, how expensive the animal is.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The last question we'll take today is from Ihsan, who says, there's this hadith about Muslims being allowed to finish their food or drink when hearing the adhan for Fajr in Ramadan. Someone recently said to me that this hadith isn't to be taken literally and that one shouldn't finish their food. Could you please explain if that's true? And if so, what's the true meaning of the hadith?
You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two adhan in the Ramadan. Okay, generally, the one adhan was when people wake up for the tahajjud, they eat for suhoor, if they want to fast. And second adhan was when people end the suhoor and they start fasting. And there was no, you know, that how people used to know. So when the second adhan is said, stop. If you're eating something, just drink the water and finish. And that's literally like that, because there's no other sign. So in our time, people don't have adhan, rather than they have timetable. So if timetable starts, follow the timetable. But if there is adhan, you can hear, and the adhan is on the time, you can follow the adhan literally. There's no harm in that to follow literally. I don't understand why somebody is stopping you from following the adhan. If adhan is said on the time, yeah, that's good. Then you stop eating and drinking after the adhan. You can eat until the adhan. When adhan said, then you stop.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. That's all for today, unfortunately. If your question hasn't been answered, please remember it, and perhaps we can aim to answer it next week. Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh, for your time, and jazakallahu khairan, everyone, for joining. And we'll be back next week, Thursday at 6 p.m. BST, as always. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.